Welcome and welcome back, everyone. This is Wellbeing and Your Wallet, the flagship podcast of your local wise wisdom of wombats everywhere. Today's episode pans out from the financial well-being focus and zooms in on another important area of well-being, being career well-being. We're also very lucky to share another special guest today, but first, I'm Grant Gallagher, head of well-being here at Affinity Federal Credit Union. Joining me is my favorite co-wombat in well-being, who once confided in me that he bought his resume references off of Craigslist, but only for $10 each. It's Sean Lubitz. Sean, say hi to the folks.
Hello, everybody. Thank you, as always, again, Grant, for the amazing intro. So for first-time listeners, my name is Sean Lubitz, Vice President of Retail Branching here at Affinity Federal Credit Union, and very happy to be able to spend some time, obviously, with Grant, but even more happy to spend some time with our special guest today as well.
You know, I will say before I introduce our special guest, this intro probably is the first one you do have plausible deniability on, because you may predate Craigslist as to when you last put together a resume for Affinity. So
very, very
I might have made this one up, but there's no confirmation there. So anyway, today's special guest is one of our resident experts in career well-being. It's Tammy Lateef. Tammy, why don't you share with our audience a little bit about yourself?
Hello. Thank you so much, Grant and Sean. And can I just start off with saying, please don't buy your resume references off of Craigslist. That's just some free advice. But very happy to be with you both today. I am the HR generalist at Affinity Federal Credit Union. So what does that mean? I handle talent acquisition. So I do a lot of the hiring. I handle employee relations. I also head up the ERG, the Employee Resource Group, on the young professional side. That is part of our DEIB program, our Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging program. Really happy to be here today. So thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming. We always enjoy our special guest episodes, and I'm sure you're going to have some great knowledge for our audience today. So before we jump into the topic at hand, I want to open us with an icebreaker first. And, you know, Tammy, I'll give you a first shot at this. You know, what is career well-being and how does it differ from the different elements of well-being? You know, we've talked about physical, mental, financial are obviously ones we quite often talk about. But what's career well-being?
Sure. Personally, I think career well-being has a lot to do with finding a balance, a happy medium between work and life balance. And we talk about that a lot because I feel like an important component of that is finding a level of fulfillment in the work that you're doing. When we're talking about career, it's, are you personally fulfilled in your work and your career?
Yeah, that's a great point. And you know, one of the things I always think about when we're talking about career well-being is, you know, you spend a significant amount of your time at work. You know, so,
sure do.
So how you're feeling about that, your relationships there, how you feel going into the day, how you feel coming out of the day, it all has a major, major impact on your life. So, you know, thinking
sure
about
does.
That, yeah, thinking about that from the emotional perspective is, it's critical.
Absolutely. And you had mentioned a great point. How does it differ from physical and mental well-being? I think that career well-being is kind of a little more obtuse. It's kind of hard to put your finger on it, kind of hard to define. And I think it's subjective. I think that's like that for a reason. It's going to vary greatly from person to person. What you define as career well-being is not necessarily how I'm going to define it. But it's like, for example, it's easy if I go to my doctor and they say, hey, you got high blood pressure. That's quantifiable. They can say that we put a number on it.
Yeah.
But if, you know, you're, from a career well-being perspective, it can still directly contribute to your physical and mental health. It's just harder to put a finger on it.
Yep.
Yeah. I was going to say, I totally agree with you, Tammy. It covers so much more, right? There's other pieces of well-being that this will have a major impact on. I always said this, but learning this from Grant years ago, right? When we talk about well-being, it really is just emotional connection, right? The emotional response in that category. So for me, career well-being, it's the stress of work. It could come from a direct team member, a direct leadership, or it could just be organizational stress. The fit for what you're looking to do just does not fit the culture of the organization or the mission of the organization. And one thing that you already touched upon is just that that sense of belonging and fulfillment is something that's going to really help overall career well-being. If you feel like you're not going to a job every day, but you're going to do something that you enjoy doing, you have a passion for doing, it'll relieve so much more of that stress. So again, I think feeling valued, feeling like you have purpose in your role, and feeling that sense of fulfillment is extremely important when it comes to career well-being.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's as we know, it's one of the many pieces of the holistic well-being pie. So they're all interconnected. You can't have one without the others. So it's important that you pay attention to all of them. So if you couldn't tell by our icebreaker, today we're talking about career well-being. You know, we're going to discuss a little bit about the importance of what career well-being is, how it influences your life. We're going to talk a little bit about tips and best practices on how you can align your personal and professional goals. We're going to touch a little bit on mentorship and how it fosters professional growth. And then, of course, we're going to talk about how you can navigate tough conversations at work, you know, centered around prioritizing your own well-being. You really have to be your own advocate. You really have to be comfortable in having those conversations when you feel like, you know, you're not being prioritized, your well-being's not prioritized. So we got all that fun stuff coming up. All right. So jumping right into our main conversation here, Sean, you want to kick us off?
Sure. Yeah, I have a question for Tammy. So how does an individual's view of their career influence their overall sense of well-being?
That's a great question. I think our career is a big part of our identity. When you introduce yourself in a professional setting, "Hi, I'm Tammy Liz," immediately I default to, "What do I do for a living?" That's a huge part of who I am. I'm also a wife, a mother, but in a professional setting, I'm Tammy Latif. I'm an HR generalist. I'm in human resources. So I feel if we view ourselves as having a satisfying work-life balance, and we're making, like Sean, you were saying, making positive, meaningful contributions, feeling fulfilled, that's going to have a positive effect on our overall well-being and vice versa.
It's so true. I mean, that's kind of like the default thing is when you're introducing yourself, even in social settings, you know, what
Absolutely.
You do is a very big part of that conversation. So it really feeds into part of your identity. And you know, if you're not proud of that, that can have a tough outcome on just how you feel about yourself and how you present yourself to others. So, I mean, there's definitely a big influence there. So it's important that you make sure that your career is something that makes you happy, that it's something that pushes you towards that ideal self that we all kind of have floating around in our heads. So Tammy, you know, do you have advice on what steps somebody can take to enhance their career well-being?
Sure. So there are a couple different ways. If you're a job seeker, I'm going to sound like a recruiter here because I am. Make sure your resume is updated. Anytime someone will ask me, "Is your resume updated? Your affinity, you're happy." The answer is yes. My resume is always updated. I'm a product. Yeah. What can I offer to people? So my resume is always updated. Make sure that you're connecting with other professionals on platforms like LinkedIn. Expand your network. You should always be expanding your network. It's who you know, right? We've always heard that.
Yep.
Attend seminars to increase your visibility to potential hiring managers, or just to expand your network, just for the purpose of expanding your network and getting to know other people. On the flip side, if you've got a job, you love your job, but you just want to advance, ask your manager for a stretch assignment. "Hey, want to kind of spread my wings? What can I do? How can I challenge myself?" You can research courses on leadership if you're looking to take that next step and take on more of a leadership or supervisory role. Take those courses ahead of time. Be proactive. Communicate above all, communicate your goals with your manager. Don't assume that your manager knows where you want to go. And ask a leader that you trust or that you admire, who's in the job that you want perhaps, to be your mentor, to guide you, to give you advice, to help you.
Yeah, that's all great advice. And, you know, it makes me think of, you know, we all have our own personal brand, right? And it's, you know, that resume is really that document that encapsulates it, tells people about, you know, who you are, your personal achievements, your journey to get there. And, you know, when you have a major milestone or achievement at work, that could be a great way to go and turn around and update your resume, make sure it's there, because, you know, we all have memories and sometimes we forget. And sometimes in the moment, it's a really big achievement that you're super proud of. And then down there, you're like, yeah, you know, whatever. But if you capture it when you have all that excitement and all like the, it's fresh in your memory, you can really add some great qualifications and skills that you picked up during it to really just boost your overall marketability. Because it's like you said, at the end of the day, you know, you are the product that you're trying to sell. And I know, you know, in my 15 years at Affinity, I've updated my resume multiple times for all sorts of different reasons. You know, I've had volunteer opportunities that required a resume. I've had school opportunities that required a resume. So it's really one of those things that it's much easier to do if you do it on an ongoing basis versus that moment when you absolutely need it and you're like, oh wait, what did I do a few years ago? What did I, you know? So yeah, definitely want to keep that up to date. And you know, that is one you bring up LinkedIn, which I think is a great tool too, where that almost can be like your living resume. You post your accomplishments, your connections are all there and they can kind of see your career journey. So yeah, that's a great tool too, for just staying connected with people, keeping them up to date on your work accomplishments. And, you know, you never know when you're going to throw something out there and somebody says, hey, this is really cool. Like, maybe there's an opportunity for us to collaborate. Maybe there's an opportunity for us to do something else. So not only is it good for maybe your next step, but even your current career, where you're bringing visibility to some of your work that internally there's probably a lot of recognition and acknowledgement for, but externally, not everybody always gets to see what goes on behind the curtain.
Yeah. To add to that also, it's funny, Tammy, I was writing down some things like, all right, I want to make sure I touch on this and this. Communication's key. You touched on that already. Being proactive is super important. You've touched on that already as well. One of the things that I think it takes a minute to get there mentally, to have the mindset of you are in more control over your career than you think, right? I think some people are like, I don't have control, right? The organization I work for, I've heard so many people, you know, they'll leave an organization like, I wasted 4 years of my life there. That's on you, right? That's not on that organization. So taking ownership of your career really is a game changer. Even if you're in a bad situation, and I've worked for organizations before that, I've learned a lot from, and I hated the role I was in, but I learned a lot from going through that experience and taking that and bringing it to me, even here into Affinity, and saying, we will never do those things because I've been there, I've done that, I've been a part of it. That is just not who I am as a person. You know, I don't want Affinity to be that as an organization. So if everybody has that mindset of, I'm always going to be learning, even if I'm in a tough situation or have a tough manager, a tough team, what can you take away from that to better yourself down the road? And again, taking ownership of your career. If you think anyone else or any organization forces you into something for an extended period of time, or I'm not getting promoted because of them, take ownership of that.
Absolutely. I could not agree with 100%. I agree with everything you've said. I also have been with organizations and I've seen, oh, this is the wrong way. This is the wrong way to do it. And if you're there, like you said, Sean, you're in control. No one can force you to remain there, to stay there. At least I've learned how not to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's almost as important as how to do it is how not to do it. So I couldn't agree more, and definitely take accountability and ownership of your direction. You're in the driver's seat. I say that a lot of times to candidates, to employees, you're in the driver's seat. Tell us where you want to go.
Longtime listeners of the podcast can attest to that. There is a lot of value to learning what not to do, because I credit my parents with sending me down the path of finance, where I saw what they did and learned a lot of lessons of what not to do, and made the decisions to say, you know, I'm not going to be somebody who's in a relationship where there are fights about money. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to make sure we have a healthy relationship with it, and we're going to make it work, because it's just, you know, you learn those lessons the hard way sometimes, unfortunately.
Valuable lessons. But mom and dad were right.
Yeah. Yep. But it's good to take away any learning opportunity that you can. And, you know, speaking of learning opportunities, you obviously can learn a lot from mentors and having those, you know, whether they're in a more senior role than you, whether they're in, you know, a different organization that, you know, you want to potentially move into, or a different industry that you're looking to move into. Obviously, mentorship can play a significant role in navigating career challenges, fostering professional growth. Can you share a little bit more about just how to get started on mentorship and what other value it can bring to you and your career well-being?
Sure. So mentors are great. I've had a career coach. I've had mentors. I think that personally, the best part of my experience having a mentor was that they provide an objective point of view, right? I'm in my career right now. I'm living, breathing it every single day. But when I bring it to my coach or my mentor, they're looking at it from a completely different perspective. They're outside of the situation. So they look at it a little bit differently, and they're able to give me a fresh look. Well, hey, did you think about it this way? Did you think about maybe the manager's thinking about this, or your colleagues thinking about it this way? It's just, it's a fresh set of eyes. We say that a lot, but it's a fresh set of eyes on a situation that maybe you're just a little bit too close to. And mentors, they don't necessarily have to be even in your line of work. It can just be someone who has more experience than you, who you trust.
Sure.
But I think the kind of common thread is that mentors are almost always usually leaders that have many years of experience, and you can leverage that experience. If you're very early in your career, leverage that experience, leverage those experiences that they have, learn from their mistakes. One of the best mentors I've ever had said, hey, learn from my mistakes. This is what happened. I tried this, do it this way. And you can leverage that to your advantage.
Yeah. You know, I've been lucky to have some mentors throughout my career that have definitely helped me understand how to navigate tough situations, help me give me that perspective that, you know, you a lot of the time, especially when you're young in your career and you don't know what to expect, things are shocking or scary, or, you know, they give you very emotional responses where, you know, the veterans, they're like, ah, we've seen this before. This you're making a mountain out of a molehill. But without somebody who's already seen it before, you don't really know how to navigate that and how to become comfortable with it. So they can almost give you that perspective that you don't have.
Right.
And really help you foster through it.
Yeah, you're too close to it.
Yeah, yeah.
You need 100. What is it? 100-foot view.
Yep. Yep. You talked about your parents too, Grant. My I'll say this from a mentorship standpoint. It doesn't always have to be structured, right? It can just be a relationship that you have, or someone that you're watching how they work, right? I'll say this. My dad, I don't think he's called out of work 5 times in his entire life. Like, he was the one that he gets up every morning, even if he doesn't feel good, even if things were going wrong, he gets up, he shows up every single day. My mom, on the other hand, was the one who just continued to push me and make me realize things aren't just going to come to you, right? So like, you applied for the job. Great. You applied for 5. That's awesome. Have you called them? Have you emailed them? Have you followed up with them? Maybe you stopped in and they said, hey, you know, here's an application to fill out. Fill it out. Get it over to them. Things aren't going to just come to you because you hope that they will come knocking on your door. It's not going to happen. From the professional side of things, I've had some amazing people I've worked with here at Affinity. But one of the first opportunities I had to kind of learn from a leader was at a previous institution I worked at. His name was Brent. And he really made me understand the career path in banking, where prior to that, it was really, I was looking at it as a job, right? You went to work, you did your job. I did my job well, but he's someone that challenged me and put more pressure on me and didn't just accept what I was doing as, hey, great job, you did it. You did it well. It was, let's think harder about that. How could you do it differently next time? How could you, you know, push yourself to be a little bit better in this area or this area? So again, I've learned a lot from a lot of different people across my career. Again, some more structured mentorships and others just, you could even be watching from afar and just watch how they do things and you can learn a lot.
That's great advice, Sean. I think our parents must have known each other. My dad was a small business owner and he would say, you don't ask, you don't get.
Yep.
So advocate. Yep. That's how I learned to advocate for myself. If you don't ask, you don't get. And one of my mentors, Erica, who was one of my managers long ago in HR, she was a proponent of pushing yourself. If this is where your comfort zone is and you kind of draw a circle, draw another circle just outside that original circle. That's where the magic happens.
Yeah. Yeah. You want, especially in a leadership role, you are only as good as the team that works with you.
So 100%.
Anybody that thinks otherwise, I would challenge that you're just wrong. Right. So you want to take care of your team. You want to make sure that you understand their needs. You're working for them. And again, something I've learned along the way also, if you want to be successful, you have to have the legitimate buy-in of the people around you. It's not just people saying they're bought in because it is their job. They don't want to lose their job. They want to come to work and do well. But having that that real connection, that buy-in is really, really important.
Awesome. Well, I think those are some great things to stew on for a moment, and we're going to have more career well-being coming back at you after the break. Welcome back. Today, Sean and I are chatting with Tammy Lateef about career well-being. All right, Sean, what do you got?
Thank you. So it's good to be back. And Tammy, we've talked about work-life balance and how important that is. So a question I have for you is just how can individuals align their personal goals with their professional goals, right? Because I look at that as that balance between work and life.
Absolutely. So I think first it's important to map out what are your goals? What do you want to do? And do some self-reflection because maybe what you think is not really what you want to do. So really kind of make those gel. But you should ask yourself a couple questions. Are you, first and foremost, are you in the job you want? Are you where you want to be? That's really going to be kind of the springboard for where you're going to go. Are you doing work that's challenging and meaningful to you? That's a huge question. That's really a tie into well-being. And my advice would be to find ways to integrate your personal goals into your career if possible. So for example, if I want to continue my education, if I want to go on and get a degree, that's a personal goal that I have. But there are ways that my employer can help me. So my advice would be look into benefits like tuition reimbursement. Are there ways that your employer can help you with your own personal goals? If you are an artist, you have artistic talent, maybe think about, does your company have a newsletter? Can you contribute to it? Can you contribute artwork to it? Can you write an article for the newsletter? Things like that to kind of integrate what you want to do personally into your professional life so they can kind of coexist.
We talk a lot about goals from a financial perspective. And you know, I think it applies here from a career perspective of if you don't have something that you're looking forward to or working towards, it makes it very hard to be optimistic about that part of your well-being. You know, it's good to make progress, but if you're just kind of shooting in all directions and it's not consistently working towards that next big milestone, it's gonna fade quickly. You know, it's not as beneficial as it could be if you were kind of taking steps towards that next big step in your career, something that's more fulfilling, or your next big move.
And I'll say this too: there's people even in our branches who they have no desire to move up in their career, but they have a good sense of career well-being. Right, they're happy in what they do. They enjoy coming to work every day. They do very well in their role, and that's okay. Some people don't want to take on more and move up
the
ladder, and that's absolutely fine. It can still just be, do you feel a sense of fulfillment and value in your current role? Are you happy with what you're doing? Because I think that's just as important too. Sometimes, and I've made this mistake early in my career, you think everyone wants more. So you try to push and help, but that's not the case. Some people really do. Others are just, they are happy with where they're at that point in time. And it might be 5 years down the road that they want to develop into another role, and that's absolutely okay as well. One of the questions you said before, Tammy, is are you where you want to be? And I think it's very interesting for anyone that says, no, I'm not, then can you answer the question, where do you want to be? Because if you can't answer that question, you're in a really tough spot, right?
Right.
So if you are not where you want to be, fair, but really define what you want to do, timeline, and then resources and a plan on how you can get there. And again, make it realistic, right?
And it's okay. It's okay to have kind of that self-realization. Hey, I'm not in the job that I want. That's okay. That's an important, really a crucial step, because then it just kind of pushes you and propels you forward. Okay, where do I want to go? And then everything can kind of just dovetail from there.
And going back to our prior conversation, if you have a mentor, that's a great conversation to have with them, to help them navigate, to discuss kind of what you're looking for. If you're in a good, healthy organization and have a good relationship with your manager, that's a great conversation to have with your manager, is to figure out what potentially in the organization and what they can do to help propel you to that next step. Maybe it's giving you specific skills you need to upskill, specific milestones you need to reach. But it's one of those things where you have to be proactive about it. You have to have that conversation. It's not just going to happen to you. You have to take an active role in moving that forward.
Yeah, I like to say nobody owes you anything. And I truly mean that, regardless of anyone, myself included. If you're doing a phenomenal job, you are not owed anything.
No.
So the sense of, well, I've done this, so now you owe me that role, or you owe me that increase, get that out of your mind, and the mindset of, again, being proactive and taking more control versus feeling like things are owed to you, it is a game changer.
I think that's a part of career well-being too. Taking that, again, we've talked a lot about ownership, taking that ownership that I am in control. I'm in control. My employer's not in control. I can do what I want to do. This is my job. This is my career. This is my life. So to your point, Sean, yeah, it's me. I'm the one driving.
And sometimes that role or that organization isn't a good fit, and that's absolutely okay as well. I've told many of the branch team members, we don't want people here that don't want to be here. And they might be phenomenal employees, but if you're miserable in your role, I want to help you get to a good place in what you want to do. Because happy people and do feel fulfilled in what they're doing, they are more productive. They give a better member experience here at Affinity. It's just, it comes naturally when you are happy in your current role.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you don't mind me pivoting just a little bit, because I'm thinking a little bit about just the role that in-person events can help provide opportunities for career-seeking individuals and networking things. And this is mainly towards Tammy, but Sean, I'd be interested in your thoughts on this too. Sure. You know, what role do in-person events, networking opportunities, things like that serve towards somebody who's looking for that next career jump or just advancing their current career? And Sean, maybe you could touch a little bit on the events that Affinity takes part in, you know, that supports those sorts of career goals.
So I think Zoom is great. I'm going to start off with that disclaimer. Zoom is great, but there is something to be said about in-person events. I think that they do have their place. In-person events provide an opportunity for that personal one-on-one interactions, conversations that maybe can go a little bit deeper than a virtual meeting, even if it's a one-on-one group, whatever. You at an in-person event, you could potentially have exposure to a larger group of people. So you're hitting a lot of those targets, a lot of those networking opportunities are out there. Again, that might not be possible in a virtual setting. It's a little bit more superficial at a virtual. You really can't have those deep, deep conversations that maybe you can at a networking event or out of chamber of commerce, things like that. Making those connections can lead to not only job opportunities, but again, those important professional relationships that we were talking about earlier. And Sean, I know you're going to talk about some of the events that Affinity does take part in, but we sponsor quite a few. We sponsor career well-being seminars. We've done tons of them. I personally have done interviewing seminars, how to be a great candidate, how to update your resume. Our employee resource group, we recently sponsored a mentoring event that also served as networking, as very important networking opportunities. And to have, again, that access to those leaders for advice. And we also sponsor community volunteer events that can provide those additional networking opportunities. So it's really getting out there and into the community at those events. It's just expanding that pool. It's kind of like a pebble in a pond, right? It ripples.
You never know who you're going to meet when you go to something like that. And, you know, I can attest. I go to a lot of different credit union industry events, conferences, things like that. And some of the most valuable relationships and conversations that I've had are just because you're able to sneak off to the side, have a quick conversation to learn a little bit more about somebody or what they're doing or their organization. That's a little hard to do virtually. I mean, that's the technology is great, but that is definitely a limitation. So I can attest to that. Sorry, Sean, I think I jumped in before you.
That's okay. I will say this here at Affinity, Tammy does an amazing job setting up these events and definitely has a passion just for overall career well-being, making sure that there's clear career paths, that we have the right people in the right roles, making sure there's resources and opportunity. And some of the career well-being events, like you touched on a little bit, Tammy, but the mentoring event I thought was absolutely amazing. I know Thanks. It was the first time, to my knowledge, we've ever done anything like that. I thought it was fantastic. So again, I'm sure we will do more. I hope we do more. We've done resume writing. We've done interviewing skills to make sure that people, again, sometimes you could be the most amazing team member and employee, but you just are not good at interviewing, right? If they gave you a chance, they would see your full potential, but you're not good at selling yourself in 30 minutes. So making sure that you brush up on those skills and make sure you're prepared for, again, anywhere you fall in that career journey path. What I will say too is get comfortable being uncomfortable. Because if you truly want to continue to grow in your career and take on the next level and the next role, there's going to be changes in what's expected of you. That's regardless of any organization, I'm sure. So if you're not great at public speaking, put yourself in situations where you have to have public speaking a little bit. And if you fail, that's okay. Learn from it. That's the only way you're going to get better. I think get comfortable being uncomfortable is the biggest kind of key to making sure that you can continue to grow in your career. Because if you are comfortable with everything you're doing, you are not growing. And it's just not happening.
Agreed. It's where the magic happens, outside our comfort zones.
And I've failed many of times.
And that's
many
good. That's the path to success.
Yes. Presenting, coaching, and all the things. I've failed many times. I've seen others fail. I've gotten feedback. It's how you grow. So don't be afraid to fail.
Well, I've got our member mailbag ready to rock and roll. But before I crack that open, I did want to add in one final thought where, you know, you bring up a great point about interviewing and resume writing. It's kind of like in the world of academics where, you know, there are some people that are good test takers and some people that aren't. You know, it's like it's a very different skill that doesn't necessarily always well reflect your skills and your knowledge on something. Well, you know, it can be hard to capture your skills and expertise down on paper. It can be hard to convey that quickly in a 30 to 60 minute conversation in an interview. So there's no shame in practicing. I mean, practice is what's really going to get you closer to reflecting the real you that can come through and shine, right? So, you know, don't shy away from those things because you think you're you know, you have the knowledge and the background and the expertise, well, resumes and interviewing, it's a little bit of its own separate thing that hopefully you don't do it enough that you're good at it, but hopefully you can get to a point where it's good enough that you get it across your value.
Practice makes perfect. Yes. I tell people,
there you go.
Get a friend. If you don't have a friend who's an HR or a recruiter, just have a friend ask you a couple questions. If you don't have a friend, use a mirror.
There you go.
Very important. Look, are you maintaining eye contact? Things like that. Practice makes perfect.
Thank you very much. That is excellent advice and transitions well over to our good old member mailbag. Our typical reminder for our listeners that if you have a question or a comment for our member mailbag segment, you can send it to @Affinity on Facebook or @X/Twitter with the hashtag member mailbag. So today's member writes in and says, I've been feeling a bit stuck in my current job lately, and I'm starting to question if it's the right fit for me. I appreciate the stability and benefits, but I find myself lacking fulfillment and passion for the work I do. I've considered talking to my manager about my concerns, but I'm worried it might backfire or even jeopardize my career. How can I navigate the conversation with my manager effectively while also prioritizing my well-being? Tammy, what are your thoughts?
So that's, we talked about having those difficult conversations, right? I think personally, the best approach would be keep the conversation focused on your goals. Keep it about your goals. Don't put your manager on the defensive. Don't do that. That's not what it's about. But again, don't assume that your manager knows what your goals are if you have not articulated them to him or her. If you've never discussed it with them, they have no way of knowing. They're not mind readers. So have those open dialogue, those conversations. Ask for what you want from your manager. It's okay. That's what they're there for. But ask for it in a way that shows that you've given thought to it. And it's not just about you, and approach it from a collaborative perspective. Hey, Sean's my manager. Hey, Sean, here's what I want to do, but here's how it can benefit not only me, but it can benefit the company. Just think a little bit more strategically. Don't think small, think big. Your manager is there to advance your career, but also to advance the goals of the company. Those two things don't have to be mutually exclusive. You can do both.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you fully. And you said it very early on in the podcast, is communication is key. So don't assume that people know what you want. Make sure you communicate it. You're communicating it in a professional manner also. To your point, not to accuse or push your manager or leadership and say that they are the problem, that you are not getting what you need. Again, that's not the right attitude to continue to move forward. It's telling them what you feel like you want to do more. You feel like you need to show more value or have more fulfillment or more joy in your role. And if you are in a position where your leadership is mad at you or frustrated that you're having that conversation, I know it's easier said than done, but that's not a great position to be in. That's not a great organization to work for at that point. As a manager or a leader, you should appreciate the fact that a team member is coming to you asking for advice and asking for help. And again, we've said it before too, but I think, again, you always have a choice. So you can choose to not have the conversation and be miserable, or you can choose to have the conversation, see what's available for you at that current organization, or maybe, again, the choice of look at what's out there, see if there is something else out there for you. But again, the grass is not always greener on the other side. So it's really understanding what you want that you will feel value and fulfillment from.
Yeah, I
agreed.
I think the thing that really sticks out about this question is they note that they're lacking fulfillment and passion. But what about their job does provide them fulfillment? You know, what are they passionate about? Is any of that in their current job? Is it in even the area that they work in? Is it in their industry? You know, if there's no real way for them to transition to something that is fulfilling, even if it is related to upskilling or a different role in the same kind of thing that they do, maybe it's just the wrong career path for them. Maybe it's the wrong industry. Maybe it's the wrong company. You know, you kind of have to go into that with kind of proactive ideas about where you do want to go. you can't just dump it all on your manager and say, you know, I'm unhappy. What can you do for me? Right. So that's an important consideration to kind of figure out how you're going to lead that conversation with to have a productive conversation. All right. So that brings us to today's Affinity Product Spotlight. Today, we're talking about our Smart Start Savings. Whether you're saving for a down payment, dream vacation, or rainy day, we're here to help you earn more toward your financial goals with Affinity's award-winning high-yield Smart Start Savings account. Affinity Smart Start Savings earns 4.0 annual percentage yield on the first $10,000 in savings, which is 8 times the national average as reported by the FDIC. This means a higher savings rate on more dollars for Affinity members. For those new to the program, it's unique for its inverted interest structure that encourages our members to get started on their savings journey with no minimum balance and no monthly maintenance fees. It is a great way to start building your emergency fund since this structure allows for easy access to funds when you need it with no limitations on transfers or withdrawals. Did I mention Smart Start is award-winning? Affinity Smart Start Savings Account was recently named Best Credit Union Savings Account for deposits under $10,000 by CNBC Select and was previously recognized as Best High Yield Savings Account by the Buy Side from the Wall Street Journal. Save smart, earn more, and reach your financial dreams quicker with Smart Start. Visit affinityfcu.com/smartstart to learn more. All right. So we talked ton of stuff about career well-being today. I think we really got some key actionable things that our listeners can take away with, you know, exploring what they can do in terms of mentorship, you know, thinking about what's fulfilling in their own careers and where they want to go with their career paths. You know, what final thoughts do we have for our listeners today? Tammy, why don't you go first?
Sure. My advice would be just remind yourself you are the CEO of your life. You are in control. You are in the driver's seat. If you make your professional goals and personal fulfillment a priority, your career well-being will fall into place. It'll follow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think, again, taking ownership is the biggest thing. Take ownership of your career. No one else is in control of it, right? You are in control of your career. And I think another thing is just be open to feedback, ask for feedback, be open to it, whether it is positive feedback or constructive feedback, it is a gift, right? Whether you agree with it or disagree with it, know that that's the perception of someone to what you do, and take it, digest it, and again, continue to learn from any of the feedback you get, but it is a gift.
Yeah. You know, for our listeners that are working full-time jobs, you know, remember you're spending basically a third of your life Monday through Friday at that job. So you know what matters most to you. You know what is fulfilling to you. You know basically what you want to get out of it. So it's important that you be thoughtful and intentional about what you're doing in your career, choosing what path you're taking, choosing your next career path, and just making sure that you're well-prepared and equipped to make a transition if that's the right thing for you too. So I want to again thank you, Tammy, for joining us today. Some excellent knowledge you shared with us, and I hope our listeners enjoyed it. Hope you'll join us again. And before we wrap things up, I do want to remind people that if you do have a question or comment for a future member mailbag segment, you can send it to us at Affinity FCU on Facebook or X/Twitter, the hashtag member mailbag. You can rate, like, and subscribe for more Wellbeing in Your Wallet podcast. And you can visit affinityfcu.com for additional information about financial wellbeing and Affinity products. And as always, thanks for listening and be well.